each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for joining The Winds of Change. This is Father Tom Coyes. Broadcasting, especially teamed up with EWTN. That's very happy news for our Winds of Change show and all you in the audience and the audience world. God bless you. And remember, if you can't listen live on the radio, be sure to podcast. That's how we do things today, right? Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coyes. This is Brain Wrinkling Wednesday. As usual, I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start with something that is in the catalog.
Oh, no!
Indeed. I'm going to start with always fun. The gay rights people love to make headlines, and so they did once again out in Lisle, Illinois at Bennett Academy. So I got to give my two cents on this matter. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people are in the dark. They're putting the modern moral relativity ahead of the beautiful moral teachings of Christianity, Catholicism especially, of course, and their desire to defend a kind of hedonistic theology, hedonistic ethics, drives them to do what they did with this teacher. And it's we can listen here. I got a little clip from the news from the other night. It was last night or the night before, I'm not sure. It's not just at Bennett. There's so many places that this issue is causing a tremendous heartbreak, I guess. And for that reason, I'm going to try to connect it with something. I want to share a little clip from Bishop Bob Barron, who I know and love very much. One of his favorite themes is the, I'm going to say it this way, the downplaying of Catholic morality in terms of holding on to doctrinal positions, as it were. And so this is a good example to start with that. So let's listen here a little bit. This was the report. This is from Channel 2, I believe it was. It was on a lot of different stations. But here,
this is... And to give this respective coach her job back. From inside the halls of Bennett Academy, a private Catholic school in Lisle, to a protest outside of the school where a rainbow suddenly appeared in the sky. there is support for Amanda Comas, a graduate of the school.
When you don't agree with something, you should speak out on the matter. You should not stay silent.
Comas' supporters, like assistant lacrosse coach Colleen Savelle, say Comas was hired as the varsity girls lacrosse coach, but that job was taken away after she listed her wife as an emergency contact on paperwork.
100% it was pulled because of who she was married to. I want the girls and the students at Bennett to know that this is not okay. This is not the example that we should be setting for the students here.
Tim Jakelich.
Let's stop there. We'll go back. That little episode of a rainbow appearing in the sky obviously was used as a sign from God to support the gay lifestyle. At least that's what the news reporters and the people who are supporting the or attacking the administration for letting her go, as it were. Not letting her go, but not giving her the job. So it's even different. I think it was wise for the school administration to check these things out before she was hired. So they're talking about giving her job back, but it was rescinded after she started, or maybe she did start a couple of days. I don't know those exact details, but that's irrelevant, as it were. If it were to come out later, it would still need to be addressed at a Catholic institution. And so that rainbow, do you remember where the rainbow first comes in the Bible? Do you remember it's from Noah's Ark, and the rainbow was set in the sky as a sign that it was safe to get off of the ark? And the remember Noah puts the dove out the window, he flies out and comes back, and he puts him out the window. Finally, he doesn't come back, and so they know that the storm is over, as it were. Okay, we all know that part, but do we remember why the storm came in the first place? The story of Sodom and Gomorrah has a lot to do with this. You know, the immorality of the people, and especially even the phrase Sodom and Gomorrah, sodomite, is the term that we use today. So it's a strange ignorance of the story of the Bible, and the symbol of the rainbow has lost its symbolic meaning in its origins from Scripture. Of course, we all like to see rainbows. I can't help but look at them, and they look pretty in the sky. But to say that it was a sign from God to support those that were defending lesbianism, plain and simple. So, but let's listen a little bit further. Here's another alumni. Doesn't say that he's gay himself, but it sure sounds like he may or may not be. But
he's a 2016 Bennett graduate. He penned this open letter to school administrators. He says more than 2,000 alumni signed it, along with hundreds of current parents and students.
The most frustrating piece of this is that Amanda was not being hired as a religion teacher or in a position where she'd be responsible for you know, supporting the Catholic Church's practices or religious traditions.
Savelle says standing up for Amanda.
So we got to take this issue, or what this alumni guy, he looks to be in his early 20s or so. He's saying because she's not teaching religion, it shouldn't matter, which is it's a very warped sense of what religion really is. If religion is only a subject you study that gives your mind something to think about, then perhaps he may have a point. But the whole idea of the Catholic religion is that it is not just a philosophy giving us wonderful things to think about. It is a relationship with God that pushes us, informs us, that commands us to have good relationships with other people, and therefore how we live our sexual ethics can very, very much be a part of how we see God, view God, worship God, and all the rest. So he's making the major, I'm going to call it the pagan mistake, and I doubt if he would consider himself a pagan, but the pagans before Christianity were very much in favor of tolerating many other religions. You could have any religion you want, and you should tolerate other people's religion because they didn't really have that long-range effect on society. And the caveat for the pagan religions was, as long as you worship the god of the emperor or the emperor himself as a god, you can have whatever other religion you want. In other words, there's this incredible separation between the, shall we say, the doctrinal ideas of God. Is there one God? Are there many gods? Is God a physical being, a spiritual being? Does God have children? Does God not have children? Is God married? Is God not married? All these questions that could come up.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That's kind of the brain rain. But as long as it doesn't have morals that are supposed to flow from an idea of God, you're slipping into paganism, you know. And that's one of the reasons why I applaud the Bennett administration for trying to keep a Catholic culture, and Catholic institutions for many years now have been fighting this battle. This is just a new recent example of it. Here, let's see a little bit more of what the coach is.
The best thing to do, even if it means losing her coaching job that she's held for 6 years.
Quite honestly, you know, I just want to do what's right. And if that means that something's going to happen with Bennett and my employment there, then that's what's going to happen, and I'll fight that.
So what she's saying is, I don't want the children to see this kind of example. I want to do what's right, and if I get let go of because of my support for the lesbian coach, then I'll fight that. In other words, get ready for a lawsuit, which is where unfortunately we have to be very aware of the different cases in courts now. It's sad, but that's where consciences are formed, and it makes the mistake of lawyers and judges will have to depend solely on written laws, either the United States Constitution or the constitutions of Illinois or other states that these battles come up, and the wisdom or the laws of God through the scriptures are verboten, are kept out. So there's another aspect of this. When, and I don't think it's in this interview, but obviously some people are saying, well, if Bennett is going to let go of someone who is a lesbian because that's against Catholic teaching, then they're going to have to let go of people who are divorced because divorce is against Catholic teaching. Now, if it's stated that way, we have to object strenuously because divorce is not against Catholic teaching. It's in divorce and remarrying outside the church is just carries with it the prohibition of receiving Holy Communion. You're not excommunicated. It's just you have to address that. And so people who are saying such things that, okay, you're the Catholic administrator is being inconsistent because he's willing to fire a lesbian, but he's not willing to fire a divorced and remarried person. I'm going to say it this way. The major difference is the difference between abandoning teleology versus trying to work with our mistakes and sins regarding our relationships with others. What I mean by that is to ignore the lesbian issue is not just to hide it. It is to celebrate it, and that's what is behind the letters of protest, the gathering together. There was you didn't see this on the radio, but on the TV interview, there was a bunch of girls arm in arm holding together, all wearing rainbow masks. It's a celebration of the breaking of traditional Christian sense of the meaning of human sexuality. And the gay lifestyle has to ignore or attack or break what we have always considered something called teleology, that nature has ends, that actions, human actions, have ends, that they're doing things this way produces this result, doing things that way produces that result, the whole life argument about a human fetus grows into a human person, already a person, but grows into a human adult. The loss of teleology is at the heart of chaos, more so than the divorced and remarried person. Now, if Bennett ignores divorced and remarried teachers, especially if there's no admonition or talking with those people about not receiving communion, that would be an error on their part as well. The error of a person divorced and remarried is much more easily corrected by, to use the phrase of Pope Francis, accompanying that person and that person going through the right steps, that is to say, getting an annulment and getting married in the church, is quite possible. It's quite feasible, and it happens all the time. But to get a lesbian couple to stop their lesbian relationship is, I don't want to say impossible, but it is very close to that. And unless the administration were to get some kind of promise from that coach to say, we are moving apart and we will not engage in same-sex relations, they could actually be great examples to the students for trying to follow God's way of human sexuality. And isn't it, especially in high school years, when the students need just that, they need an example of not, shall we say, following their passions at every instant, but following the commandments of God, even when it's difficult. So it's another sticky situation, and we got to pray for all.
Wow, you just wrinkled my brain, man.
Little past our first break time, right, Nick? So we will take our quick break and I'll come back. I have another analogy that I want to share with you with regard to that, so we'll see about that. So anyways, I'm Father Tom Coy, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFT. WSSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico or the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here are two new books from EWTN Publishing. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, from the nun who made it her life's work to instruct millions. This volume assembles her most profound and timeless advice on how you can grow in holiness and achieve your ultimate purpose, to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni, how to explain and defend Catholic teaching using common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life and Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni. Available now at EWTNRC.com. My Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here. Brain Wrinkling Wednesday. Maybe I didn't say that yet. You are listening to Winds of Change with our new partnership with EWTN. Isn't that great? Okay. I want to connect this issue with Bennett Academy and a gay teacher, and this has happened a number of times in different Catholic religious institutions. And as a matter of fact, each time this happens, a great many people come to the defense of the gay person, in the sense that they don't want the church coming down on someone who is expressing themselves in the way they see fit. It oftentimes will come down to, well, this is my conscience and I'm following my conscience. That does certainly come into play. However, the whole role of conscience is being circumvented by the COVID and the vaccine mandate, isn't it? When you appeal to your conscience, all of a sudden the superiority of conscience fades. So it shows that these issues are deeply rooted in first principles that we need to uncover and accept. The analogy that I'd like to share with you in terms of, let us say, teacher A or coach A, who's a lesbian, and teacher B or coach B, who's a divorced and remarried person, and the argument that many are making is, oh, you can't discriminate, you can't, if you're going to fire someone for a sinful behavior, then you're going to have to fire everyone because everyone's a sinner. On the one level, to talk with somebody who's already gotten married in a civil same-sex marriage ceremony, and I put even married in quotes because it can't consider it marriage. They would, when they're going to try to express their conscience, they're going to say that it is the right thing. It is not wrong. It is not sinful. Now, teacher or coach B, the divorced and remarried, might say the same thing about getting divorced and remarried. And a church institution would be right in trying to get them corrected. There's a much better, if a person goes through the annulment process, which is what the church would ask for a person like that, there is a necessary admission of a personal fault, and that makes a big difference. Whereas the gay person, as I say, they would defend themselves not with a sense of teleology, that human sexuality and the human body and human acts with the human body have a certain end producing, and that's what we mean by teleology. You have to do one thing. Oh, wait a minute. Let me close that for a second. Okay, very good. Sorry about that. I'd like to compare it to cleaning your garage. Okay, this is the analogy I want. When you go to your garage and you see it's completely in a mess, you open the garage and you say, "Holy cow! Look at all this mess." And when you start to clean up, you are going to start to clean up with the things on one level, and then you keep working and get to another level. Let us say that there's dog fecal matter all over the floor, but there's also broken glass, and there's some garbage bags, and then there's some things that really don't belong in a garage. You need to move those. Well, obviously, you're going to have to start with the first things first, or maybe the stinky stuff in the broken glass, etc. Throw out the garbage. You're going to set yourself on a cleaning mission with certain levels, and so a school, a Catholic institution, can and should try to clean house completely, but you're going to start with the more egregious, more scandalous moral problems, and you work through the others. And if you're not working through all the others, then you are being disingenuous and inconsistent. And so you could even push it to a Catholic institution should not have teachers who practice and talk about and promote artificial contraception. With young people go through that growth in puberty, and they're going to ask themselves these questions, and because they're going to learn from so many other sources that the Catholic Church is wrong on these things, you need... you need good mentors, both in the religion class and in the biology class and in the history class and out on the lacrosse field and the football field and soccer field. That's what we mean by creating a Catholic culture. That young man who said because she wasn't teaching in religion, it doesn't matter, is really expressing the pagan view of religion.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Remember, I do think that the cleaning the garage is a good analogy. There's a lot of moral mess, and you take it on, shall we say, a bit by bit. And if teleology, if human sexuality, the human body, that all things of God's creation have no ends, that God did not put a design into his creation, then it's the fast track to moral chaos. The fact that so many people are getting divorced and remarried is contributing to that chaos, but there's remedies, and there's beautiful remedies, which include, I was wrong, and now I want to be back in graces, not only just with the church, but with my God, which is my conduit to God. Religion has to be a conduit to God. And to the view of heaven. Okay, so let me see if I can transition over here. Bishop Bob Barron, who I know and love, and I support him in so many ways, but every now and then he steps in it, at least from a certain perspective. But it's a very important perspective, that being the connection about Catholic moral teaching and Catholic doctrinal teaching. And so I don't know if this was an interview or just another one of, he brings up the fact that we are conscient in the United States. And I do agree with that. Immanuel Kant was a philosopher in the 1700s, and he's famous for the moral imperative. And here Bishop Barron is explaining how his view of religion is not the Catholic view, which I agree, but yet I don't, how should I say this, but Bishop Barron's assessment of what the Catholic view is faulty as well. I'm going to put it in terms of Bishop Barron is getting two or three points right, but one point wrong. All right? And so that's what I want to focus on. And whether when you're making a cake and you're putting in the milk, the eggs, the flour, the sugar, if you put in a little vinegar, and it doesn't matter if you put the vinegar in first or in the middle or at the end, that bit of vinegar is going to ruin the whole cake. And I'm afraid if we don't get this issue smoothed out or corrected by one of the greatest Catholic voices in our country today, we'll continue to have more vinegar tasting cake. So anyways, let's see. It's a little bit later before I play this. Let's go to our next break. Okay, Nick, we're at the bottom of the hour. Remember, we're on a new format here, my friends. I'm Father Tom Coyes on the Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 and WNDZ, or AM 750 is WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's La Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more. providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here. I know this is a bit brain-wrinkling, and I tried to untangle the difficult web of confusing messages that we're getting, and I feel like apologizing before I take on some good Catholic voice, but to not see that there's some difficulties within our Catholic Church is to just to ignore the obvious. I think we all sort of, and I hope my little contribution will help untangle some of the confusion, as it were. And I have to use this example from Bishop Barron because he says it so clearly, and it's this thing that sticks in my craw about how he's in one sense he's making some good points, but he's missing a point that needs fraternal correction. Maybe I'll say it that way. How about that? And Bishop Bob, my old friend, if you ever do get wind of this recording, please feel free to call or write or what have you. We'll discuss it further over a hamburger and a beer, like we so often did in the past. So here he's criticizing the Kantian view of Christianity, which is the Kantian view of Christ as just a moral teacher, so that Christianity is just a moral system, and so he's right in criticizing that. If that word just is inserted, he's right in that regard, but he's wrong in what he thinks is going on. Let's listen to him first.
He's all post-Kantians. What I mean here is we tend to follow the German philosopher Immanuel Kant, who said, you know, religion is finally about ethics. So we say, you know, Jesus, sure. I love Jesus. He's a great...
Okay, that one line that Kant says, religion is about ethics. I would criticize Kant especially by pointing to one of his famous principles. He's the one who said, and if you're going to come up with a moral principle, this would be it. Act in such a way that the principle of your action can be universalized to all people. In other words, if you are going to make a rule in society that says you can drive 100 miles an hour on this street, then obviously everyone has to be able to drive 100 miles an hour on this street. So moral, I've criticized Kant for his ethical principles based on his destruction of the virtue of prudence. You know, you can, if you change moral principles off of the more Aristotelian way of thinking about virtues, which is oftentimes said virtue lies in the mean, shall we say, between two extreme vices. So Kant comes along and says, no, moral principles have to be those things, those rules, those laws, policies that you can declare that can be universalized for all people. Now, going back to my little example of the 100 mile an hour on this street, you would say, well, that sounds like a good rule, except if you're an ambulance driver or you're a fireman and you're going to a fire or an accident. Or let us say you are you're in your own car and you are going to an accident, or you're driving someone to the hospital or something like that. Obviously, you're breaking the law by using your prudence. You're seeing that these circumstances that I am now allow me to break the law. And that's how I criticize Immanuel Kant's ethical teaching. But Bishop Barron is criticizing him because Kant is reducing Christianity to just morality. I don't know if all Kantian philosophers, students of Kant, would agree with that assessment, but even for the sake of argument that it's true, there's still another issue.
So let's go. Ethical teacher. I look at the Sermon on the Mount, I look at his great ethical teachings, and I can distill, you know, principles to live by. Read Thomas Jefferson's Bible, which has removed all the supernatural references, and it just retains Jesus as a moral teacher.
You know, I'm going to stop it there. I got to give kudos to Bishop Barron for that, because Thomas Jefferson did write a Bible, and he did remove many of the supernatural examples that would lead someone to think, ooh, Jesus is God, right? And this is the point Bishop Barron is trying to make, that the Gospels are primarily supposed to teach us that Jesus is God. And it's only secondary that Jesus has good moral teachings. Thomas Jefferson does, his ideas and his philosophy have created much of the worldview and philosophy that we hold as Americans, whether we're Catholic or Protestant or atheist or what have you. And so to discover that Thomas Jefferson's philosophy does have an error is a very good thing. And as a matter of fact, I think that can and should be appreciated when it comes to Thomas Jefferson's insistence that church and state be ripped apart, separated, cannot be partners. And here's where I think Bishop Barron steps in it, in the sense he's going to say something that I just sort of categorically disagree with. Here he goes on.
Yeah, we're very much at home with that. And you can indeed distill moral teaching from Jesus. Of course,
the thing I categorically deny on that is we're not all comfortable with Jesus as the moral teacher, because there's so many arguments about moral principles today. If you're a Catholic, you can't separate the person of Jesus from the church. The person of Jesus is alive, is the soul of the church today. The body of Christ in the world today is the church. So for Bishop Barron to say that the masses are all comfortable with the church's moral teaching, I don't know. It's hard for me to understand what kind of world he's living in, I guess. Is example A from the beginning of the show with the moral chaos revolving around just a Catholic institution saying we don't agree with homosexuality, so homosexual sex. That those people that are protesting that issue are not at all comfortable with accepting the church as a moral teacher, as Bishop Barron seems to just roll over, as it were. Let's see how he finishes it here.
Was a moral teacher, but that's not what the biblical authors are primarily interested in. They're interested in telling you who he is. This strange figure, greater than Moses himself. They're interested in communicating to us that this Jesus is God.
Yeah, and in
we're
there,
all post-conscience. What I mean here is,
stop that there. And there, I 100% agree with what Bishop Barron is saying. The scriptures are primarily trying to present Jesus as God. And yet, what Bishop Barron is doing, which so many people, and we all do it, I'll include myself in this at times, you know, we justify our immorality, on the one hand, because we just disagree with the teaching that it's not really immoral, but then when we admit that it is something we do is wrong, is immoral, we will throw ourselves on the mercy of the court, so to speak. You know, we pray for God's mercy, and when we know and we believe He will grant it to us. However, that assumes we're asking for forgiveness. And again, going back to that example of Bennett High School, that coach that is being let go, if she is going to be let go, I'll wager that the administration will cave in to all the protests, and she'll have her job, which means a success for those who are trying to separate the idea of love and worship of God from God's commands about our life, which have a great deal of moral ramifications. So in the end, I'm going to say it this way. Bishop Barron is right. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are trying to teach us that Jesus is divine. However, that divine secret, the messianic secret, is hidden. It's intertwined in almost every page of the Gospels with our Lord's trying to straighten out our moral life, to live with our brothers and sisters in a greater sense of harmony, which is a way of talking about moral lives. And actually, the worship of that God, going to church, this is where I think a lot of our evangelical efforts to get people back into church fail too. The getting someone back to church is not seen as a moral imperative. It's seen as just what you're supposed to do when you believe in God. If you go back to Thomas Aquinas, you will see that he says that worshiping God as God wants to be worshiped is in fact a moral imperative, because going to church is giving God what is His due. And that's, of course, the basic definition of fairness, right? What is fair? What is just? So what Bishop Barron is doing, and so many other, they're splitting apart, they're pulling apart what belongs together. It reminds me of that phrase we hear so often at weddings, right? What God has joined, let no man separate. And of course, we realize that has a lot to do with the man and woman getting married, exchange the rings, I say I do, et cetera, et cetera. And that's true, obviously. But here, in this context, what God has joined is our love for God and our love for neighbor. Love for God is connected to doctrinal theology, getting God right. As Bishop Barron says, the Gospels are trying to do this. To worship God includes worshiping Jesus Christ. In his time, that was what got him crucified, right? But our Lord Jesus was adamant about keeping our moral lives pure and on the right track, with a heavy dose of mercy, of course. But you can't change the system. You can't change the operating system of the moral life, as it were. That's what the people who are defending this coach at Bennett really are trying to do, right? So we have to be careful of that. Don't separate what God has joined together. Oftentimes I sense that people will downplay moral issues, even overcoming the idea that they feel guilty about it. Obviously, you know, if you're a smoker and somebody's trying to tell you how important it is not to smoke, you're going to downplay all the people saying don't smoke. It makes you feel a little guilty. Or eating certain kinds of bad foods, if you do those things, you're not going to promote that much. Well, it's the same thing with sexual ethics and the teachings of our church regarding marriage between a man and a woman, artificial contraception, divorced and remarried, needing annulments, these kinds of things. If it happens to you, you're not going to talk about them. But even if it didn't happen to you, you want to downplay those things and just say religion is about my love for God. And that, in essence, is what Martin Luther did with the Protestant Reformation. And that is part of what's influencing our Catholic Church today. Let's take another break here. We got a little more time. I do want to share with you another little episode or another little clip on the vaccine. We got lots of COVID stuff always coming at us. So anyways, Nick, let's take our next break. And my friends, I'm Father Tom Coy sitting in for Anthony Bush on the Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico or the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stan's LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here on a brain-wrinkling Wednesday. I was trying to connect a couple of topic of the Bennett coach being let go because of her lesbian lifestyle and her refusal to change or repent of it. That needs to be pointed out, too, if someone were to make a promise to avoid that kind of sin, they certainly could be embraced at a Catholic institution, but of course she's not doing that at all. So that means she's calling for praise on the breaking of the teleology of human nature and God's creation. When that goes, chaos ensues. Okay, we have to keep that in mind. And so those young people who are standing with her because they are they see a person being persecuted for their sexual choices, especially even heterosexual teenagers, will be called out on the carpet, shall we say, or they're the church, the voice of Christ through the church would say that living together outside of marriage or any otherwise having sex outside of marriage as a teenager is a mortal sin. So they're kind of defending their own sense of freedom as they defend that lesbian coach. So anyways, as we go out for this break, I'm going to at least introduce them. Maybe we can come back to this later. There's another very interesting clip from Project Veritas. I hope you know what Project Veritas is. They've discovered so many, they've caught on tape so many lies or problems that go unnoticed, unreported. And here's one by an ER doctor, a Dr. Maria Gonzalez, who's very frustrated with the policy she has to follow with regard to treating somebody with COVID. You can find this on Project Veritas, which is still on YouTube, amazingly. And the fact that you got to see things and it has to be recorded is sort of a new phenomenon. I could just tell you this, but you won't believe my lying eyes, or you won't believe your lying ears unless you see it with your lying eyes or you hear someone. It's kind of like the radio version of putting something in quotes and making a footnote, right? So this is how.
Show it under the, yeah, under the mat.
What patient was she referring to?
She was referring to that patient, that 30-something-year-old patient that had congestive heart failure.
And in that particular patient's case, it was not reported.
No.
The problem in here, they are not doing the studies. People that had it, you know, and the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
I need to say it's a little hard to hear that, but the doctor is saying all these reports and everything are not including testing for antibodies. And people that have had COVID, like yours truly, have antibodies. As a matter of fact, my blood test came back and I had a antibody number of 783. Now, numbers are always relative to what you're looking at, but a negative, if I had no antibodies, it would be less than 0.8%, and I have 783. So I think that's a robust. So she's very frustrated with the process. Let's hear just a little bit more.
But it hasn't been done. It hasn't been published.
It hasn't probably been done because the government doesn't want to show that the government.
She uses a bad word there that we won't use on the radio, but she's saying that the government doesn't want to show that these vaccines are not working. They're not the. They're not the answer to our pandemic. I want to end this pandemic just as much as anybody else, but the vaccines are making us even our immune system weaker in different ways, and our policy makers have to listen to both sides of the scientific debate. That's certainly one of the problems we're facing today. There are so many doctors and scientists that are not on the side, not telling the narrative that Dr. Fauci is telling, and yet the policymakers are completely blind to that. And this Project Veritas clip shows it so well. Anyways, let's pray for all our families, pray that God guides us through these this work. We certainly need God's intervention, a great amount of humility on the part of everyone. I like to tell people, try to see the devil laughing, and perhaps the Communist Chinese Party is laughing. They want to destroy us at all costs, and turning friends into enemy is certainly one way to bring a society down, and we can see it all around us. Let's pray that we know how to navigate this with courage and understanding. Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 FM.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is